Have you ever been let down by the experience of religion, Christianity, or even Jesus himself? Does it work for your friends, but maybe not for you? Maybe do you even doubt that it even really works for your friends? I felt this way before. And right now I kind of feel like I'm in the middle of like selling something on TV, you know, where they're kind of going, you know, if you get this and this, and sometimes you feel like this, and if you buy now, we'll give you a free t-shirt that says Jesus loves you. But getting back to it, I discovered in this story in Mark 8 the reasons why this can happen to us sometimes. The truth is that there's nothing lacking in Jesus or how he transforms. There's nothing lacking in Jesus or in how he transforms our lives when we believe in him. It's that there's something lacking in how we see Jesus. What it is that we're believing about him. So, who is Jesus to you? Who is the Jesus you are telling people about? For me, Jesus was always the guy who ate with the lowest of the low. I always liked to share the Jesus who ate with the sinners. I would tell myself, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I would use almost all of that story to make myself feel better about who I'd be hanging out with, or the fact that I wasn't really challenging my non-Christian friends. See, I missed a big part of that story. I was happy enough to use the parts about Jesus eating with the sinners. I was happy enough to use the line about the doctor coming for the sick. But until recently, I wouldn't use the last line. I've not come for the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. I was happy enough to see the Jesus that hung out and had fun. But was I seeing the Jesus who also called for repentance? The Jesus who challenged those who were living for themselves, that there was something far greater to live for. We've heard from Bevo and Jay and Jade about some of the ways that they had Jesus in their life, but they didn't have the full picture. They only had their version of him. Similar to Peter in this next part of the text. So Mark 8, 29b to 30 reads, Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. We see this and think, fantastic. Peter has finally got it. Someone has given the right answer to Jesus. Kind of like in Sunday school or a youth group devotion. There's always that one kid who knows the correct answer and shouts it out to the leader, and the leader always tells them they're correct. And that answer is normally Jesus or God. Normally if you yell that out in Sunday school, you're right. But does that kid understand what they are saying? Are they saying their answer because nine times out of ten, Jesus is the correct answer in Sunday school? Or are they giving the answer with a prepared reason behind why they gave it? Peter knew Jesus was the Messiah, but did he know what the Messiah was? What the Messiah was called to do? Or was he like that Sunday school kid, just giving the teacher the answer he wanted to hear? For Peter, the thought of a Messiah was the thought of a leader, a lord in the earthly sense, someone who would come and take control and start some kind of revolution. This is why Jesus warned not to tell anyone about him. They only had half the picture. They had only seen and understood what their earthly desires had allowed them to see. Now this sounds very similar to how gossip is spread. You can hear half the story or you can assume something and tell someone assuming that what you were saying is correct, only to find out later that you only had half the picture or your truth was in fact folly. But we'll come back to all of that stuff in a little bit. So Jesus warns his disciples not to tell anyone about him. And again, this enforces the importance of going to a place like Caesarea Philippi, where there were no crowds of people hanging around to see what Jesus had to say. For a disciple to go and tell anyone about him, they would have been a first-time listener, and they probably would have had to have gone out their way to find someone to tell. So Jesus then takes the gang and teaches them in verse 31-32. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke about this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that doesn't sound like the kinds of thing an earthly lord would do at all. Being rejected by elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and rise 3 days later. Now, these are not things fit for a lord. A lord is meant to rule and take control. He is meant to take control, not be killed. It says Jesus spoke plainly about this. He didn't speak in parable. He didn't sugarcoat what he told his disciples. It was straight up. He told him what was going to happen and how it had to happen. Jesus had given them the full story. I wonder how Peter felt at that moment. He had the right answer, but at the same time, his answer was totally different to the one that his teacher gave him. Now, I suppose that that he felt his answer was better, and it should be the one that Jesus went with, because in verse 32 it says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, I'd like to take a minute to see how crazy that sounds. Peter took Jesus aside and kind of said, "Hold on, mate, I reckon you've got this wrong." It sounds crazy. How can someone tell Jesus he is wrong? "Look, I know you're the Messiah, Jesus. I know you're the Son of God. And I know you've been sent here to do all this amazing stuff. But I reckon I know what you have to do here." We do it all the time. We know what Jesus wants from us, but we ignore that and we go our own way. We see the kid alone in the playground or the kid being bullied, and we know we should help. We are prompted to go and stand up, but we say, hold on, Jesus. I reckon I have this right. I'm going to stay over here. I'd like you to be the Messiah who saves me from my troubles, not the Lord who commands me to treat others the way I want to be treated and to defend the powerless." Now, Mike, over the past couple of weeks, has been speaking about conflict and forgiveness, and how true does this ring? So often, instead of looking to Jesus during conflict, we look at our own feelings, our own desires, and what we want as an outcome. See, like Peter, we rebuke Jesus all the time. And I'm sure if you took a second now, or just sometime in the next couple of days, you can think of plenty of times that you've done this. Now, we've heard the guys speak about times they rebuked Jesus, told him he was wrong. Times that they had the question right, but at the same time they had that same question so very wrong. Does it start to sink in why Jesus told Peter and the other disciples not to tell anyone? If Peter went out and told everyone of the Messiah, what was he going to say? Was he going to mention anything about the Saviour who had to die in order to save us? Or was he going to tell about the brave Lord who was coming to conquer the Romans? Peter had half the message. And imagine if he went on and told everyone he knew that half of the message. So Peter has just taken Jesus aside and rebuked him. And Jesus, after looking at his disciples, responds to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And suddenly it's quite evident that Jesus is speaking to all of us. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter wanted Jesus to look like this. Brendan wants Jesus to look like this. Mike wants Jesus to look like this. Jethro wants Jesus to look like this. If we're all sharing what we want Jesus to look like, how many different ideas of Jesus are there floating around in the world? And that there, I think, is one of the hardest things to honestly and openly reflect upon. What face of Jesus do you know? Which one have you been told about? Perhaps you know the Jesus as Lord, the Jesus you obey, the Jesus you use to judge others, the Jesus who keeps you busy because God expects stuff from you. Or maybe you've been told more of the Jesus who is a Saviour. You hold him closely, selfishly. "This is what God has done for me." You are caught up in the moral sin as opposed to what the Bible says. "Morally, it is better for me to download this movie or CD because there are people in the world doing far worse things." And it's also the kind of the laziness you get. "Why should I grow? Jesus loves me just as I am." Now, these are some examples of what we don't want to see. What we do want to see when we hear of the Lord is contentment and trust. He is Lord. he is in control. A Lord is someone appointed to lead the people. So let's trust him, not just through the need to obey, but through the joy that comes with obeying. When we hear of a Saviour, we think of someone who is coming to save, someone who is laying down their life for us. And why should that be met with selfishness and laziness? A Saviour should be met with joy, and we should display peace and love because of it. Now, this isn't me saying that we need to pick a side, you know, we need to pick a side, because that would sort of contradict everything I've just spoken about in finding the real Jesus. Instead of choosing sides, we need to take Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We need to use obedience with compassion. We need to see that we can't only work with discipline. How will that teach grace? And we can't only allow grace, because how will that teach obedience? Now, how can you see Jesus clearly? How can we know if our perception of Jesus is on target or not? Now, there are two things I'd like to challenge us all to do, and I'll be giving them a whirl as well. Spend time with our Bible, and prayerfully consider what we are reading. Make sure that we are understanding everything Jesus wants of us, and not just the parts that we want. The Bible is God's own word, breathed out through human authors. It has been kept in great nick through the centuries, so you and I get the chance to know him well today. Secondly, we can also look at our fruit. What kind of fruit is in your life? Is it this fruit spoken of in Galatians? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can't preach joy, peace, and love if we're ignoring the faithfulness and self-control that comes with it, in the same way that we cannot preach faithfulness and self-control if we are displaying it without displaying love and being joyful about it. For myself, as I shared earlier, if I'm only prepared to hang out with the sick and be friendly around them, am I showing all of Jesus, or just the easy parts that will keep me comfortable? Remember that we don't produce any of this good fruit. The Holy Spirit does it by helping us know Jesus and base our lives on who he is. You only experience all the fruit of the Spirit when you let the Spirit show you all of Jesus. Now, I think that's one of the most positive, probably the only positive catch-22 I've ever heard. You only experience all of the fruit of the Spirit when you let the Spirit show you all of Jesus. So evaluate your experience of life. Whatever is lacking in spiritual fruit will show you what is lacking in your perception of Jesus. And the aim here at Kingsley is to help folk of all ages and backgrounds in becoming mature followers of Jesus Christ. To steal a phrase that's been thrown around at Kingsley for most of this year, what we really want to be doing is helping people move to the right. We want you to know Jesus fully, not partly. We want you to experience the new life he offers in abundance and not settle for some misconstrued fraud that's only been half told. We want you to represent him accurately to those around us who need to know him and find their life in him. So will you examine yourself to see if you have mature faith? Have you really understood what it means for Jesus to be both your Saviour and Lord? Will you test yourself to see if these sneaky desires of your heart have caused you to drift one way or another, to neglect some parts of who he is because they challenge you or do not appeal to you? And how can you take this into your week? What are you jumping to conclusions about? What are you, like Peter, getting correct, but not understanding why or how you're getting it correct? We want to be making sure that we are sharing the real Jesus to our friends, and not sharing the thoughts of man. Now, perhaps you've heard about this Jesus fella in magazines or newspapers or on the internet, and you've formed an idea about him based on that. Or maybe you've seen these Christian people or Christian friends and the way they live their life and based your views on Jesus around them. If this is you, I challenge you this week to search a bit harder. Have a look for yourself. Have a mosey through the Bible. Or come up here afterwards and have a chat to some of the guys that will be up here at the front. and maybe get to know this Lord who is also the greatest Saviour ever known to mankind. Now, he is so much more than the conqueror that Peter and many had wanted him to be. He is more than what your heart desires him to be. Believe in Jesus as he really is and experience the life and hope that only the real Jesus brings.